We pray that as you listen to one of our amazing team bring the Word of God, you are encouraged and challenged, and that your faith is stirred. To get in touch or for more information about us as a church, head to libertychurchuk.com.
Hello, everybody. Do we say good morning here?
Good morning.
Good morning, Vietnam. Did you see the movie? Okay. I have Lois with me this morning, so do you like to say something? Not too long, because they already took too much from my time. Isn't she beautiful? She's only 35.
Okay, I won't say anything about that. I totally agree. I just want to say thank you to this church because you've really blessed us in so many ways that you can't even imagine. And actually, just sitting there this morning, I just felt at home, actually, and being at Leah and Heath's house was just a blessing, and it's so like home, you know, just to chill out, put your feet on the couch, and just to kind of watch movies or whatever spiritual thing we're doing. So just thank you so much, and it's wonderful to be here, and God bless you. You're doing an amazing, amazing work here, really. And God bless Heath and Leah. I just feel like you're doing such a great work here, you know. And sometimes it can be tough being a leader, but God is with you. God is for you. And all things work for our good. Thank you.
I mean. I don't know what I would be without Lois. First is God, then is Lois. Thank you very much, guys, for your support, sending people. How many came to Greece? How many? Let me see your hands. Oh, many, many. Thank you for coming, supporting us. Some of them came almost every trip. And we really appreciate all the support, all the prayers. really, we could not have done anything without the support of churches like yours. So we cannot express the appreciation in words, but God knows our hearts. And really, this is a family. As far as cars are concerned, Lois and I'm going to give you a little hint about the people, not the ones who need the car, but the ones who pray for the other people to receive. I and Lois gave like 3 cars away and a bike. It's true. Is it true? It is very true. But every time we gave the car, just giving you a hint now, we were left with nothing. It wasn't like we had 2 cars and we gave 1. We had a car, and then God said, give it. So we stayed without a car for some time. Then God replaced it. Sometimes it took longer than what we thought. But when God says give, you give. And maybe one of you who pray for them to receive, maybe you can give yours. And then use the buses to go around. But I believe that the next level that the Lord is going to take us as a church in Europe and all over the world, I believe, is that we are in a place that many of us, including me, our problem is not receiving something for the Holy Spirit, but our problem is keeping it. You need to get it flow. When you receive whatever that is, and I'm not talking about material stuff only, about everything that God gives you, you need to keep it flowing. Because that's where things kind of become stagnated. Because you receive a gift, but then you keep it for you. So this is, I think this is going to bring revival. Because as we, what she was saying today, that we all have the Holy Spirit, and then if we come together, it becomes a river, kind of. but if you don't let it flow, you don't let it flow, and not only just here, I mean, but outside. If you have a gift, you give it out. You need to go out there and find somebody to give it to. A prophecy, a word of knowledge, a word of wisdom. Don't just keep it for you. Oh, I have a word of knowledge. I can't wait until Sunday comes to go and give it to Liberty. Liberty doesn't need it. It's Newport that needs it. Amen. It's your neighbor. I mean. Do you agree? Yeah. It's okay if you don't agree. This is a democracy, right? No? We gave you democracy, unfortunately, and you took it. is this working? I don't know, Heath. I don't know that, nothing. Push down this. Oh. Wow. The ultimate goal of God. And I'm gonna don't make any don't come to any conclusions until I finish, because it would sound like I'm not theologically correct, but I believe I am. let's see what the Holy Spirit wants to tell us today. There is a difference between immediate and ultimate goals. Father, I close my eyes today and I ask you to speak to us. Let your voice be clear in our ears and in our hearts, Father. In the name of Jesus. And everyone said, amen. Something else before I go on. This guy the other day called me and he said, Pastor, I would like to start a church. He was from Albania. He said, give me one. Advice. Okay, I said I'm going to give you an advice. Guard your heart. Not because be a pastor is a stingy business, very crazy business. Everybody thinks that it's a holy business, but it's nothing but holy. Ask Moses when you get up there. They wanted to stone him. But guarding our hearts is something that has already been said here. Why do we guard our hearts? Because with our hearts, we believe. We don't believe with this. I wish today there were more Christians using their hearts and not their minds. Because many things we do in the church, the Holy Spirit is absent. If somebody said if we remove the Holy Spirit from churches today, they will keep continuing doing 80% of what they are doing, and they would not know that the Holy Spirit is not there. I mean? With all this in mind, there is a difference between immediate and ultimate goals. Success with immediate goal makes it possible to reach the ultimate goal. Logical, right? Yeah? And then failure in immediate goal prevents reaching the final goal. Okay? You with me? Yeah? Doesn't take rock science to understand that. I mean? So salvation, for example. Let's talk about salvation. Salvation, and that's where I don't want to get you lost here, because this is salvation was not the ultimate goal of God when he sent Christ to us. Because, I mean, sometimes we go out there, let's save them, right? And go. Let's save them and go. No. I mean, I haven't seen a baby born in a family, and when they give birth to it, they leave it in the street, and then they go because the ultimate plan was for him or her to give birth and just, I mean, what is his name? Huh? Yeah, didn't you leave him, guys? I mean, the ultimate thing was pregnancy, then you give birth, and you go. Easy. I mean, I was born again. You know, some people, let's get them saved, right? And okay, as long as they get saved, it's done. No, that's not what it is. So that was the immediate goal. The immediate goal was redemption. Without redemption, we cannot get to the ultimate goal. And what is the ultimate goal? Every believer be filled with the Holy Spirit. And there is a, this is not just speaking in tongues, of course, but think about, sit on it a little bit. Think about it. Because why do you get saved? Why does God get you saved? Just if his ultimate goal was just to get us saved, and then, I mean, come on. If I get saved, I'm ready to go. I mean, let me die now. Let me die now. I mean, I reached the ultimate goal. I'm saved. Let me go. Let me enjoy heaven from now. Why should I stay here? Right? Is there a purpose behind redemption? Is there a purpose behind salvation? Is there a purpose behind born-again experience? I mean, the spirit realm, listen to this, Matthew 12:28. But if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, the kingdom of God has come upon you. This is the words of Jesus. I mean, so the Holy Spirit encompasses the kingdom. The Holy Spirit enforces the lordship of Jesus. The king's domain becomes evident through his work. That's what we are here about. This is what we are doing. Come on. You know where I'm coming from? I'm coming from a place that every day, every hour, every minute, I'm overwhelmed with what I have, with what I see in front of me, what it needs to be accomplished. It's impossible. It is impossible. The work that we have in front of us here in Newport, in Athens, everywhere you go, it's impossible. I mean, so something we cannot ignore, anointed ministry, and I'm not talking about some pastors and evangelists and prophets and teachers and apostles, but I'm talking about each and every one of us today. Forget about his, forget about here, for Leah, forget about me. Just let's think as a newborn again believer. I mean, just think of you. Just put you in the center now. Think of your life, who you are in Christ. So anointed ministry causes the collision of two words. It's impossible not to. We are looking for anointing. Who is anointed? I want the anointing of God, right? Because it cannot be done otherwise. I told you, I'm coming from a world that is impossible. If you don't have the anointing, you cannot do it. Nowhere. Many people came here and they wanted healing. Who is going to do the healing? I mean, I didn't see any doctor here, cardiology, somebody who is, people who treat cancers or a pediatrician or gynecologist or any. I didn't see any medical doctors here coming to cure you. We just pray and we lay hands and we believe that the anointing of God would come to you and heal you. That's impossible in the flesh. We are looking for the anointing. So the anointing ministry, anointed ministry, causes a collision of two words. Listen to this. The word of darkness and the word of light. I mean, what is the word of darkness? Sickness, is it the word of darkness? Poverty, is it the word of darkness? Depression, is it the word of darkness? Come on. We are living in a world of darkness. But the word of darkness and the word of light are two words that we are living. When the kingdom of God comes upon someone, the power of darkness is forced to leave. And listen, I came to understanding that when the power of God comes to you, he doesn't separate issues and he says, oh, the power of God is on me and it's only for healing. He doesn't separate. Whatever problem you have, if the power of God comes on you, finito, man, is gone. The darkness is gone. And I show you a scripture about that. Of course, it doesn't speak about all the issues, but listen to that. If anyone among you sick, let call the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And listen to that. And the prayer of faith save the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up, and if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. So, I mean, pray for anybody, and you're going, you know, sometimes we become too religious. Oh, brother, what do you have? I have cancer. Okay, what sin have you committed? I mean, what you need there is not an interrogation of the person, but the power of God to visit him. If the power of God is visiting him and you pray for the cancer to go, even if he committed sin, the power will not separate sin and sickness. It's going to come, and sickness and sin will go immediately. It doesn't separate. What we need is the power of God. In the power of God, everything is settled. Darkness is gone and light is taking over. Come on. Come on. Can you say amen in here? Oh, some of you can say amen. Some of you cannot, huh? Are you from another country? When light is turned on, darkness does not resist, right? Come on. I mean, there is no debate, right? Right? Listen to this. It does not stay dark for a few minutes and then it goes. When I turn on my switch in my dark room, you know, oh, darkness stays a little bit longer, hang around, you know, a little bit, and then light comes. The minute light comes, darkness is gone. Finito la musica. Can you experience that in your dark room sometimes? When you come into the house and it's dark and you have to switch on the light, darkness hang around a little bit, and then you see it going little by little from room to room to room, and it goes. Boom, you turn on the lights, boom, the light is there. There is no debate. There is no fighting. There is no even resistance. This is my desire for the church of today to see all over Europe and in all over the world that the darkness will go when light walks in. This is our purpose in life. This is the ultimate plan. This is the ultimate goal. We are redeemed, we are born again to bring in the light. Amen? So, listen to this. Light is superior to darkness. I cannot get more simple than that. You know, hell, you know what is the primary task of hell today? To keep you from the simplicity of the gospel. That's hell's priority. Hell's priority is to keep you from the simplicity of the truth. And this is the truth. Light is superior to darkness, full stop. There is nothing else to explain here. There is nothing else to deep in. There is nothing, no deeper theology than this. Light is superior to darkness, period. Amen. This is how we should think. And when we, you know, that's where faith comes in. Because if you try to analyze this with your mind, I mean, what is there to analyze? I mean, you believe it, you go. And you believe with your heart, not with this, with your heart. Because some of us have big brains. Oh, then, Pastor, how can we use our brains and our minds? There is one thing you can do with them. Renew them. Day by day, that's what you have to do with your mind. Renew them. Just push the word of God in there and get the garbage out. That's renewal. That's how you do your own mind. You don't need to figure things out. Triumph is immediate. Triumph is immediate. We want to see this. 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 We want to see cancer go immediately. We're going to see cars coming into the congregation immediately. We're going to see poverty go immediately. Oh, God has his timing, blah, 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 hallelujah, praise God. But we take everything out of context and make it our context, and we don't understand something about the miracles and the presence of God in our lives. I mean, if you want to interpret the Bible well, I mean, you have to let the Holy Spirit interpret. The Holy Spirit never contradicts the Word of God. But as I was saying over there in Southampton, Holy Spirit will never contradict the Word of God, but it will contradict your interpretation of the Scriptures. Because nothing is, I mean, we take a Scripture out of context and we apply it to us just to excuse our failure. It's so true. And we need some boldness. I am working on it myself. I'm preaching out of weakness today, if you're going to know. I'm preaching out of weakness, I'm searching, but I know the truth, but I'm searching. How can I get there? How can I see this in my life, like become real in my life? And I'm going to see it, I tell you, I'm going to see it one of these days. I'm going to see it happening one of these days. This is my passion. The Holy Spirit, facts about the Holy Spirit, yes, has no battle wounds. He's not what... He's not working like that. Can you imagine? He's a person. Holy Spirit is a person. You know, like we call it, I mean, you miss a lot embarrass you, but you miss a lot of stuff in the English language. It's not the Holy Ghost. The ghost. Ooh, it's so spooky, you know. It's a person. Holy Spirit is a person. It's a real person. I mean, so he's not, no battle wounds, no teeth marks. Why are you laughing? Imagine. And in his presence, Jesus is Lord, period. Because this is the major function or purpose of the Holy Spirit. He said, I'm going to teach you, I'm going to lead you to where you don't know, I'm going to remind you, blah, 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 blah. But what his main function is to glorify Jesus. His main function is to glorify Jesus in your life. When Jesus is glorified, when Jesus is lifted up, then people will be drawn unto him, right? That's what it is. That's the Holy Spirit. Though those who learn how to work with the Holy Spirit actually cause the reality of his work, his dominion, Jesus, to collide with the power of darkness. Everywhere the apostles went, it was turmoil. Here are those who turned the place upside down. Here are the troublemakers. You know why? They collide with the power of darkness. Every time you walk into a place and there is power of darkness, there is going to be an upsetting spirit. Somebody's going to get upset. Somebody is going to feel uncomfortable because light came there to kick darkness out. That's what is going to happen. I mean, Satan is not going to be happy. Oh, the Holy Spirit is here. Hallelujah. Let's party. It's going to be a coalition. You're going to feel it. Some people, oh, I don't want to feel that. No, you need to learn to feel it. There is a resistance. Oh, I feel resistance. That's the right thing to feel, resistance. If you don't feel resistance, then something is wrong. There is resistance everywhere. I mean, victory is the end result. Victory is the end result. And if we need victory, then we need to understand that this is a battle. I mean, oh, I need victory, I need victory. How about battle? No, I don't want battles. There's no victory without battles. I mean, this is also simple, right? It's simple, very simple. Battles, victory. Otherwise, oh, I need to live in victory. Of course, fight if you need to live in. I need victory. Fight. I mean, why are you guys laughing? I don't understand. The value of his presence, the best gift ever a human can receive is the Holy Spirit. We need to receive it. And again, many people, theologians. What is the Holy Spirit? Is he speaking in tongues? Is he prophesying? It's everything. You can speak in tongues. You can prophesy. What are the best gifts? Oh, I had a lady who was coming. Lois knows. The name was Rani. Rani Sebastian from Malaysia. She's with God now. She passed. And I said, Sister Rani, why do you operate in the Holy Spirit so easily? And as we cannot. She had a simple answer, as usual. Because he said, people don't flow in the gifts of the Holy Spirit because they don't ask. They are not seeking for them. I mean, the Bible says, seek after the best gifts, and I will give it to you, and I'm going to give you a higher way. I mean, so what are the best gifts? Best gifts, every gift is best. It depends what you need it for. If I have a blind person, I'm not going to speak to him in the spirit of knowledge. You are blind. I need the spirit of healing. I need the gift of healing in that case. Open your eyes in the name of Jesus. If somebody needs, leading from the Holy Spirit and he needs prophecy and he's trying to get into some things that is going to bring mess into his life or her life, you're going to come with the spirit of discernment or the spirit of knowledge or the gift of wisdom, and you're going to tell them, don't do that. Don't go that way. That's a best gift for him or for her. That's the best gift. I mean, you can operate in the gift. It depends what you need. I mean. So through the Holy Spirit, we enter in an intimate relationship with God. And listen, I'm going to end up in the last two slides, and this is the essence of my message. But listen to this. Through the Holy Spirit, we enter in the, keep that word, intimate relationship. Because I really believe that the Church of Jesus today, including me, what we lack most of all is that intimate relationship. This is what we lack. Because we have salvation, redemption. We are new creatures in creations in Jesus. I mean. Are you born again or not? So you are set. You have eternal life. The spirit in you, that your spiritual man that you have in you, is the same spirit that you're going to meet the Father. It's not going to change. It's not changing in here. I mean, you receive the Holy Spirit. That's the Holy Spirit. Your spiritual man. This is who is going to meet the Father one day when you're going to go get out there. I mean, so what we need is relationship. I mean, to minister as Jesus did. How did Jesus minister? Yeah, he was sinless. We are sinless also because we are washed by the blood. Unless if you don't believe it, I don't know, but I believe it. No condemnation for those that are in Christ. No shame. My Savior died once and for all. I'm cleaned by the blood of Jesus. He gave me a new heart. He wrote his law into my heart. I mean, someone said, I mean, in here. So I have what it takes. I am like Jesus. But Jesus has another aspect in his ministry, and that was the relationship with the Father. He saw the Father, he did. He said, I cannot do anything unless I see the Father. So what Jesus is seeing, he sees the Father walking on the sea in Galilee, he does the same. He sees Jesus pray for the blind, he prays for the blind. He sees Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead, he's raising Lazarus from the dead. He sees the Father. He says, if I cannot see the Father. So he had such an intimate relationship with the Father. Now Jesus said, I'm going to go now. I'm not going to leave you orphans, but I'm going to send you the paraclete, and it's going to be your helper, your comforter, and whatever you need, if you see him do things, you do the same. That's the thing. That's the model. That's a model. That's what we are missing. How do we get intimate with God? Simple. Prayer. Have you ever heard about it before? Prayer. It's true. It is so true. The result, a ministry of power. We need the power. We are not just another club. We are not a political party. Yeah? I mean, we are not some kind of an organization. We are not a charity. We are not a charity. We are the body of Christ. I mean, we are the answer to every solution. Yeah? I mean, we are the solution to every problem. I mean, I have a message, the church, the solution to every problem in today's society, in every problem, the church, not the politicians. I love politicians. I pray for them. Yes, they cannot do anything. I tell you, they cannot. I mean, no chance. We are the solution. We are the solution in Newport, in Wales, in England, all over the nations. And what is the church? You. Church is not Liberty Church. Liberty is just a name that you choose for your name to gather. But the church is you. Phil, Graham, Lois, Leah, Heath, everybody. It's the body of Christ. You are the church. Say, I am the church. Yes, you are. Yes, you are. So you are not only here, the church. When you get out there in the foyer, you're going to be the church. When you get into the car, you're the church. When you go downtown, you're the church. When you go out to that restaurant and you treat that waiters like very nicely, you are the church. When you are home and you are treating your wife, your husband, you are the church. You are kids, you are the church. In the school, you are the church. In the university, you are the church. We just gather 2 hours, 3 hours on Sunday, praise God, hallelujah, we need to do that. But then what do we do the other many hours of the week? We are the church, and we are living in this, a ministry of power. I said, a ministry of power. I'm finishing in 2 hours. The Holy Spirit. I don't know why you're laughing. I'm not a comedian. Even if I became a comedian, I'd make more money, I'm sure. The Holy Spirit comes when God requires something of us that is humanly impossible. How many times He requires humanly impossible things to do? Every day! Every minute. I mean, I'm across impossible situations every day and every minute in my life. That's, I'm so overwhelming. If I didn't have the Holy Spirit, I would jump, I'll tell you. It's crazy. It is crazy. And you have impossible situations every day in your life. And the thing is with us, is like automatically, instead of switching into the Holy Spirit and to His presence to solve the problem, we switch into our minds. That's why you have to learn to switch into the Holy Spirit and aware of His presence and try from the place of faith, which is God, the place of rest to solve the problem. Because faith is rest in all the turmoil and storms and whatever comes against you, you are in peace because you sleep through the storm. And then when they wake you up accusing you that you don't care about me, about us, you say, Bill, come! And he's there because you are like Jesus. You can sleep through the storm because you are in faith. It's not because you don't care, but because you are stable and secure and safe in the rest of God. And when the storm breaks off, you wake up and it's no problem for you. You don't even, oh, let's go and pray for 40 days until the storm stops. No, immediately he came against the storm. And many people, of course, they will, yeah, brain Christian, those who, they would be, what is this guy? What is? But when they see the results, they understand. Because people need to see results. I said, people need to see results. I mean, the presence of the Holy Spirit links us to the impossible. I mean, the presence makes anything possible. I mean, remember, God does not try to do supernatural things. He is supernatural. He will have to try not to make supernatural, I would say. But He's supernatural. So what do you expect a supernatural being to do? Supernatural things. He's supernatural. This is His essence. His character, His being is to be supernatural. Whatever He moves into a situation, He's going to do a supernatural thing, something that you cannot do on your own. He can walk on water. I mean, what is that? Supernatural. He can heal the cancer. It's supernatural because it's not doctors. It's not medicine. It's not chemo. It's just a touch. I mean, she touched the not his body, but the garment, the bottom place of his garment, and she immediately the blood stopped. What was that? Supernatural. Because he's a supernatural God. We have to remember that every day in and day out. Ooh. Sorry. Something we must not forget now, and this is what I want to say to you. We are created for intimacy. All of the things that I have said comes from here. This is all the things that I said is the result of your intimacy with him, because you are created for that. You are created for that, to be intimate with God. Okay? So intimacy is the main purpose of prayer. Some of us, when we pray, we are not getting intimate. We are just praying one request, second, third, fourth. It's just busyness. We do business. It's not intimate. You know, we're not getting intimate with God. He needs to be intimate with you. It's not that he doesn't know everything about you, but he wants you to express the depth of your hearts there. Just talk to him. Like he pretend that he doesn't know, and you have to tell him all of the secrets of your life. Don't pretend that everything is fine. And in prayer, you spend more time about you. I mean, not about, oh, my wife, my child. Of course, you pray for that, but I can pray for that for them in 5 minutes and I'm done. But stay in the presence, be intimate, and most of the prayer, spend it in, you ready? Worship. Worship God. Just worship him. Worship is the ultimate act of faith. Thank you, Father. I'm not feeling good, but I'm thanking you. Thank God in everything the Bible says. Rejoice and thank him in all things. That is the will of God. It says that in the Bible. That is the will of God for you to be thankful at all times. Many people are asking me, what is the will of God? And they expect me to say, the will of God for you is to go to Africa. No, the will of God is to be thankful at all times. Amen. And then it is through relationship that God entrusts us the secrets of his heart. Intimacy, secrets, the secrets of his heart now, because you are close to him. You spend time there. I was accused many times, oh, Pastor, you don't know we are always out there and we are working, we are businessmen, and you don't know how it's out there. You are just in a room praying all day. That's accusation for me. But yet they don't know, these people, how much you can accomplish in prayer before you get out the door. Many things are accomplished in prayer. And we should learn how to do things in prayer before we get out the door. I don't know how it's going to take for each and every one of you. I know what it takes for me. But everybody has to work, get out for him or for herself, right? How you pray. From intimacy comes our commission to rule. And let me tell you about ruling. Ruling is not just going out there in that tough kind of expression, we're going to take. No. Rulership, listen to this, come through service. It doesn't come through, okay, I'm here and I'm going to take over. It comes through service. I've seen that for the last year, for last years of my life. Serving gives you the access to rule in the Holy Spirit. Amen? I hope you understand what I'm saying. God acts in response to prayer. That's how he acts, in response to prayer. We are his delegate authority on this planet. We are his delegate authority on this planet. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. You are citizenship, not of Wales. I'm sorry. If they arrest me today, you know why? You are not English people. UK citizens. No! Oh, you are not laughing. Because you don't supposed to laugh. This is serious. Your citizenship is in heaven. I mean, now listen to this before I finish. Embassy life. You know, I've been to many ambassadors' places. Okay? In many places. So when I was invited with Lois to have dinner with the ambassador, it's a poor country, we had to go through a lot of security to come to this place. We had to leave our telephones out. We went one door, then they buzzed from inside, another door, worse than the airport. So finally we get to the place that the ambassador with his family lives. The table was ready for dinner. It was another world. Outside a poor country, inside the ambassador's house, beautiful. It was like he was living in another country. Which country? He was living in the country he represented. Okay? So listen to this now. Listen. You live in this planet with the resources of the kingdom you are sent from. Imagine. We talk about powerful nations. Okay, I'm ambassador of the United States, of course. I'm ambassador of Russia. I'm ambassador of UK. I'm ambassador of France, of Germany. I'm ambassador of China, somewhere else. Imagine the resources that these countries have for their ambassadors wherever they are sent. So imagine you are not from China, you are not from UK, you are from the kingdom of God. Imagine the resources you have in your embassy life. And there is something, and it's getting better. Look at this. The kingdom's military is at your disposal if your life is threatened. Have you heard about angels before in Wales? Because you are an ambassador. Your citizenship is not from here. You are here to represent somebody, a king. He needs to be represented by you. The kingdom, you represent a certain kingdom. And you sometimes we are scared, we are different. Of course you are different. Of course. Of course you are different. You're going to be different all of your life. The minute you became Christian, you are different. But don't forget who is backing you up. Don't forget who is backing you up. That's the place that you need to be enthusiastic and say, I mean, but you lost it. Do you love me? It's a commandment to love me. I mean, my goodness. If God is invited in a situation, we should expect nothing but supernatural. And I rest my case. Really. If God is invited in any situation. So name your situation now in your mind. Name it. Name your impossible situation right now. What is that situation that you need a supernatural intervention? Something that you cannot do. It's impossible. It's an impossible situation for you. Maybe it's a decision. Maybe it's sickness. Maybe you don't know where you are going from now. You don't know. You have no money. Maybe it's a situation in the family. Maybe you are losing a child to drugs. Maybe you are getting through divorce. Maybe. I don't know what maybes can be represented in this little group of people. But I believe if you are 200 people in this room, we have at least 200 problems for sure. Not to say 400. I say one problem per person. See, today is sales time. Unforgiveness. Actually, when I walk in here, I felt unforgiveness. I felt like there is a pain somewhere in this congregation, which is an issue of forgiveness. And I thought, okay, say it and whatever it takes. But if there is an issue of forgiveness, you need to invite him. Because, you know, unforgiveness, it's so simple, but then it's so difficult. It's like a pain in the body of Christ. Even if one of you is unforgiving, the whole body is in pain. Don't you ever think that we do things in isolation in the body of Christ. Maybe you are doing something that nobody else knows. It's a pain for the whole body. So how the body, I mean, if you have a pain like in your little toe over here, I mean, the whole body is going to show it up, right? If you have a toothache, it's the same thing. It's just here or here, but then you're like, you're not hurting here or here or here. You're hurting the tooth, but then it's impossible. I mean, I cannot, I mean, I need to get to the dentist as soon as possible because this is ruining my whole life today. You know what I mean? Just one little thing in the body and it affects the whole body. Shall we stand? I don't know your impossible situations, you guys. I felt that forgiveness. I felt that somebody needs to be forgiving somebody. And, you know, I'm not trying to be spiritual. I am ministering to you in my weakness. But in my weakness, the strength of the Lord should show today in the name of Jesus. Father, we come to you. Let's pray a little bit. Can I hear you pray in tongues a little bit? Let me hear you praying in tongues. Oh, oh, Father, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, Father, in the name of Jesus, we come against any unforgiveness. In the name of Jesus, we break it right now in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, for liberty in Liberty Church, Father. In the name of Jesus, we pray, we break every chain and we come against every sickness, Father. Many people came in the front for some kind of sickness. In the name of Jesus, Father, we break sickness. We break poverty, Father. We break every spirit of insecurity in the name of Jesus, Father. Thank you, Jesus, for a beautiful work in our hearts, in our bodies, in our souls, even this very morning, Father. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you, Father. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Corom brebe shekedere le pakasne, jam brebe tere kotrolo bosante kederia. Romomom dere ketik rabarala bashene ne ne makatekna ya. Oh, Father, 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 komom brebe shtekeya. Oh, brebe teki shtandara la bakasna ya. Oh, Father, 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 Father. I have one word in me that comes to me right now, and that word is abortion. Abortion. I don't know what that means for somebody. Abortion. And I had it since yesterday, and I couldn't know why is this word is in my spirit all day long, and today, all day long, and today. If it is someone here with an issue like that, something, I don't know. I can think of many things, but I'm just telling you what is that word comes to my mind, and I don't have any explanation. If you haven't forgiven yourself because you went through abortion and you have done it or whatever, or if you are thinking about it or whatever it is over there, in the name of Jesus, Father, in the name of Jesus, Father, in the name of Jesus, I come against that word in the name of Jesus, Father. Listen, the Holy Spirit is not here to embarrass anybody. The Holy Spirit is here to heal, is here to give liberty, is here to give freedom. Oh, we come against every sickness right now, every spirit of abortion in the name of Jesus. We break every chain in the name of Jesus right now, Father. We bring liberty and freedom in the name of Jesus, in marriages, in relationships, Father. In the name of Jesus, Father. Oh, Father, Jesus, Father, Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is telling somebody, just be in peace. You are facing with a very delicate situation. It's much more than a misunderstanding. If you leave it, it's gonna be messy. If you leave it, whoever you are, you are trying to find solutions and you are trying to figure it out and you are trying to do things Don't do things in your own goodness. Oh, I'm so good, so I'm going to do it. Don't do things in your own goodness, in your own strength. Holy Spirit is saying, don't try to do things in your own strength. Just let Holy Spirit lead me. Holy Spirit, lead me. I believe that you're going to give me the solution and the way to get there, where I'm supposed to be, and talk to that person, because it's between two people, or maybe three, I don't know. There is a situation. I don't know what it is. I don't want to call people out. I know when I hear the Holy Spirit, if it is you, just be in peace. The Holy Spirit said, be in peace. Don't bother. Just don't bother. Just stay in faith. Say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I'm going to wait for the Holy Spirit to tell me what to do. I'm not going to be frustrated. I'm not going to be panicking. We rebuke panic in the name of Jesus from here. I rebuke panic and fear to go in the name of Jesus. There is no fear in the body of Christ. There is no fear in the body of Christ, because the love of God casts out fear in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Oh, shapre beketere nenendre. Rombre beketere nenene moshatara la bakasnadia. Robre memene kotoro lo boshanda rapre ketende nenene kakandneya. Romombra bashakala. Oh, Father, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Before I finish, just touch somebody next to you. Just one person, find one person next to you. And even if you don't know what they go through, it doesn't matter, you don't need to know. Pray for your brother, for your sister. Say, I pray for my brother. I pray for my sister. I am with him and he or she is with me. We are together in this. This is my family. I bless my brother. I bless my sister. I bless their finances. I bless their children if they have children. I bless their marriage if they are married. I bless their occupation. I bless their workplace in the name of Jesus. I bless their decisions in the name of Jesus. Oh, Father, in the name of Jesus, if they have any sickness, I cast sickness out of that body in the name of Jesus, Father. I pray freedom over my brother and my sister, because I need them and they need me. And we are together in this. And we are the body of Christ. We are the church in Wales, in Newport. We are here to make a difference together. We are here to be the difference in the name of Jesus. Pray, Father. Pray for them. Speak in tongues. Speak in tongues. Speak in tongues over somebody's life today. Oh, rababa shekede. Oh, rababa kantarada trenede bortona rabashnadna. Oh, shanendre le cortona rabashekedeya. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, we cast darkness out of here. We cast every part of darkness out of here. Let the light of God shine all the way through in our families, in our places, in our homes, in our relative lines, in the name of Jesus, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Oh, shapre bekete rele preketeya. Amen, amen, amen. Just give a clap to Jesus today.